Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through verse 10. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. We just give you this time, and we ask your Holy Spirit to come and speak to us and help us to pray and just to come before you. We thank you. We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just started reading Jeremiah. And so I just wanted to just talk a little bit about what I've been reading. And it says in verse 4 and 5, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me," this is Jeremiah, right, "saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." This is God saying this to Jeremiah. "Before you were born, I consecrated you." And I just want to stop there and think about that. I think that's kind of crazy concept, you know? That before Jeremiah was formed in the womb, God knew about him. God knew him, and he had already consecrated him for his work. And I think that's true for all of us. You know, God knew us before we were formed in the womb. And the first time I read it, I just glossed over it. But now that I had to talk about it in EMP, I really thought about it, and I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy. That before I was formed in the womb, that God knew me, God knew what I was going to be doing, and God had already consecrated me. He had set me apart to be doing God's work. And that's what I want to encourage you guys with. You know, we have a calling. God knew us before we were formed in the womb, and he has called us for a specific purpose. And you know the Jeremiah 29 passage, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." And that's his heart for us. You know, before individually each of us was formed in the womb, God knew us, and he had a plan for us, and he set us apart. And here it says, "I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." So this is specifically talking about Jeremiah, right? God has appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, and that's what he did with his life. But I also think that this can apply to all of us, you know? Not that we're like supposed to be like Jeremiah and prophesy to the different nations and whatnot, but you know, because in the Old Testament period, a prophet, set him apart was that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, right, to proclaim the words of God and to tell people about what God was saying to them. And we know that now in the New Testament or the New Covenant, the Spirit of God is upon every single one of us. And in Joel, right, it talks about how God will pour out his Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And so in a sense, I believe all of us here, just because we are a Christian and we have a relationship with God and we have the Spirit of God in us and upon us, we are called to be a prophet to the nations in our own workplace. You know, wherever we go, wherever your sphere of influence is, whether it be your family, your friends, or your colleagues at work, are Our calling, or God has appointed us to be a prophet, to be a speaker of truth, and just one thing, we can't be ashamed of the truth. You know, we can't be ashamed of our faith. We can't be embarrassed. That's what I'm going to be telling my youth group students, because I feel like they're not a, you know, they come to church, but when they go out to the schools, like, I feel like they're living in fear and in shame about their faith, you know, and I look through their Facebook photos. I know I shouldn't be stalking them, but I look through their Facebook photos, and they're doing whatever their friends are doing, you know, they're flipping people off on the camera, and I'm like, come on, you know, I thought, and they're, you know, using words they shouldn't be using, and so I'm just gonna talk to them this Saturday about becoming a prophet to the nations, and just being a speaker of truth, you know, and not being ashamed of your truth. But yeah, for us, you know, for us to be a prophet to the nations, we can't be ashamed, or we can't be afraid of what people will think about us if we share our faith. And I think, I don't know, maybe it's a demonic thing. You know, he comes with his deception and tells us that we would be ridiculed and we would look foolish if we stood up for Jesus. But it's just not true, because Jesus, you know, if he is the truth, right, and we have the truth in him, and for us to say to somebody, hey, let me pray for you, or, you know, just speak into them, there's probably going to be power released, you know, the presence of God released as we speak to them and as we pray for them, but we can't get there because of fear. So let's just pray against that fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. And another thing that I want to talk about, in verse 6, Jeremiah says, then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. So basically, Jeremiah is saying, I can't do it, God. You know, you have called the wrong guy to be a prophet to the nations. And here, I just want to say, you know, our calling, I believe, is not always what you like. You know how you go to, you know, like you learn about calling. And for me, growing up, really what I thought was, yeah, the thing that I most enjoy doing, or that's the most easy for me, or just fits my personality and my, you know, whatever, my upbringing, everything, that is my calling. And I'm only 27, so I don't think I'm qualified to talk about calling to you guys. But when Pastor O was here, maybe 2 years ago, talking about calling, this is what really struck me, that your calling is not always about you. It's not about what you like to do. It's not about what's easy for you or what you enjoy doing. Your calling comes from God, right? Because Jeremiah says, you know, God says, I formed you in the womb before I formed you, I knew you, and I consecrated you before you were born. So God has a calling for his life. And Jeremiah doesn't really like it. He's like, no, I don't want to be a prophet to the nations. I am young, and I don't know how to speak. But God says, hey, don't worry about that. I have called you, and I will be with you, and I will lead you, and I will deliver you, and I will help you. And I think that's something we need to remember as we think about our calling and what are we called to do and what's God asking us to do. It's not necessarily going to be something that you're going to want to do at this time in your life, at this point in your life. You know, I think as we obey and as we walk in faith, he's going to lead us and help us to see that this is something that we are meant to do, and this is something that we have been created to do, and there will be joy in fulfilling it. But not necessarily is it going to be something that's just like, yeah, that's what I want to do, and that's easy for me, and it fits my personality, and just like that. So, yeah, not to say God's going to make us do something that we just don't want to do, you know. I think God's given us the desires of personalities as well, so we should probably look at everything. But just to get rid of that concept that it's always going to be something convenient or something that we always like to do. But God is with us, whatever it is. And so I think we'll end there. But I'll just read you a quote that I read. It's an internet devotional that I get on my email. And it's talking about Christian leaders, really. But it applies to all of us, as we are Christians and we are leaders in our workplace, and we're, you know, prophets to the nations. And when things get tough, you know, they gave us the verse, Psalm 23:4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. And it says, when the road is dark and tough, God will guide and protect you. When you feel overwhelmed with loneliness, the Lord is close beside you. When your heart is asking hard questions and you feel beaten down, God will sustain you. We do not need to live in fear, for God is always with you. He is willing to comfort and protect you. He guides you through every mountain and valley of life. He is your true leader and shepherd. And the more you trust him as Lord, the more you will experience the wonder of having a shepherd. So, yeah, I just feel like, you know, as we walk in obedience and as we take the truth of God and share it with our friends, our colleagues, and as we strive to walk in the thing that God has called us to do, when things are difficult, you know, we know that God is with us. And as we step out in faith, we're going to experience the wonder of having a shepherd, a good shepherd that leads us and guides us. But it takes obedience, right? So let's just let's close our eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to come speak to us this morning.
I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? My words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you've the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring? A friend to so loving a king. Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part. What can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? song as a praise for the things you have done. Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part,
of the debt of love,
of the debt of love that is owed by this thing.
Dear Jesus, we just pray and we confess to you that we want to offer up our lives to you, that we belong to you, and we just want to thank you for, you know, the sacrifice you made on the cross, and that you have given us this life, and help us to live this life to you now. We thank you. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our house church that meets today. It's Kane or McCain House Church. It's Jimmy and Boyoung. Let's pray that God would really be with Jimmy and Boyoung, and that they'll have a wonderful time tonight as they meet. So let's pray and cover this house church. Let's pray for our missions focus. Let's pray for our friend Rachel Warlick in Thailand. Let's pray that God really blesses her ministry, mostly using film and different media arts to present the gospel to a minority people group in that region. So let's pray for Rachel and her team that God uses them powerfully. Let's also pray for face-to-face ministries. Let's pray for Jimmy and Grace, just for the Holy Spirit to continue to strengthen this ministry, and that lots of people will experience breakthrough and healing through their inner healing counseling ministry. And let's cover our mission trips that's going out this winter. There's the Tumen River trip in December. That's to the NK border, right? So let's pray for that. Let's pray for the Fujian Orphanage mission trip. And lastly, let's pray for the Philippines mission trip as well. So the three teams, let's cover, and Rachel and face-to-face ministries. And lastly, let's pray for our building. Let's pray that God would lead us to the right building and provide the finances for us. And especially, please lift up Pastor Sam as he is, you know, watching over the whole process. Let's pray for God's grace to be upon him. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for this time we can come to pray together. And I pray that you will be with each and every person here, God, and all our church members, God, this day, today, that you will help them and strengthen them today to live a fruitful day of worshiping you and obeying you and walking with you. And I pray that you will strengthen them through the difficult times and give them just hope, that you would carry them in your arms, God, when, you know, when they're struggling. And Holy Spirit, please go with them, go before them, and we want to give this day to you. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you guys.